Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp.
Today we're going to be learning the halachas of Kiddush and Shabbos meals. This is part one, and we're in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Siman Ayin Zayin, the 77th chapter of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Today in part one we're going to examine three concepts. That's the Kiddush at night, the types of wine, and laws around the night Kiddush. Let's jump straight in. The Torah tells us, Zacharis Yom HaShabbos LaKadoshoy, you should remember the Day of Holy to make it holy. And this is understood by the Gemara, is Zachreyu Zachiras Shabbos B'Kiddush. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu invites the human being in to sanctify the Day of Shabbos. Albeit that Shabbos comes in automatically, whether we like it or not, at sunset on a Friday afternoon, for 25 hours. Nonetheless, the Torah gives us the capacity to sanctify it when it comes in and when it goes out. And therefore, that's what we call Kiddush and Havdalah. Chazal understood that that this is to be done over wine, and therefore the Kiddush that we do is being part of bringing in Shabbos and taking out Shabbos as well. Let's look at a few basic questions. When it comes to the Kiddush on Friday night, we're going to look at seven basic questions. Can I make Kiddush before dark? The answer is yes. Shabbos may be brought in earlier, and if it may be brought in earlier, I may do Kiddush even when it's still daylight, as long as it's after Plaga Mincha, which is 1.25 relative hours before the end of the day. May I eat the Shabbos meal before it's dark? The answer is yes again. The Mishnah Berurah does suggest having a kazayas of bread after it becomes dark. The Kitzur also points out that if one usually davens Ma'ariv and Kriya Shema after dark in the weekday, then really one should be careful not to begin the meal within 30 minutes of becoming dark, when our obligation of Kriya Shema would start. But if one has already started the meal, which is most likely, by the time it's already 30 minutes till dark, then it's all right to continue the meal and say Kriya Shema when one finishes it. What can I eat before Kiddush? So one is not allowed to eat or drink anything before one does Kiddush on a Friday night. One has to wait till one does Kiddush, and we'll see a similar thing in the morning of Shabbos as well. What does Kiddush look like? So there's really three paragraphs. The first is the paragraph of Vayechulu, and that is the paragraph which comes from the beginning of the second paragraph of Bereishis, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes how he ceases from work on the second day of creation. Then there's a bracha on the wine, Bereishis Gefen, and there's a bracha on Shabbos, Mekadesh Shabbos, which talks about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the nation of Israel the Sabbath. So what position should I be in when doing Kiddush? So for the first section, which is Vayechulu, it should be said standing. But for the second section, for the two brachos, that should be done sitting. Because the first part is a testimony done standing. And then there's an element of the second brachos being an element of a birkas hanenin as well, of a bracha of enjoyment of this world, which does require kfios, which means that people need to be joined, and they are joined by being sitting around the same table as well. Some have the minhag to stand the entire time, and this is based on a Kabbalistic teaching of Arizal. Rav Moshe Feinstein points out that if one does not have that in one's family minhag to do the Kabbalistic teaching of standing the entire time, the proper way to do it would be standing for the first section and sitting for the second section. Are women obligated in Kiddush? The answer is yes. Women are obligated in all the positive and negative mitzvahs in Shabbos in the same way that men are. Usually women are obligated in all the negative commandments in the Torah, and the positive ones which are time-bound less so. But when it comes to Shabbos, because Zachar and Shamar, because the positive and the negative of Shabbos are mentioned in B'dibur Echad, in the two sets of Aseres Adibros, a woman is obligated in all the positive mitzvahs on Shabbos in the same way that a man is as well. So let's sort of take a classic case. So let's say there is a 12-year-old boy and his mother, a grown woman who are at home for Shabbos. Who would say Kiddush? So it would be the woman who would say Kiddush, because she is obligated to meet her Raisa from a biblical level, whereas the boy is only responsible on a Durabon, on a rabbinic level. This is true even if he's 13 and hasn't reached physical puberty as well, then he's still on a Durabon level. If she did recite the Amidah of the Friday night davening, it is arguable that she could have fulfilled her mitzvah Kiddush via Chulin. Perhaps the 13-year-old boy could say it for her in that case. Let's jump straight into the types of wine. So which wine should I be using for Kiddush? So three suggestions that the Kitzur makes is, one is it's best to use the wine which is the best type of wine. Number two is it's best to use the wine which is older. Number three is best to use wine which is red. What happens if there is no regular wine available? So So one can make kiddush on raisin wine, as long as it's something which one can say ha-gefen on, then one would be able to do this. So this might be different, we'll see, when it comes to kiddush in the day. What happens if there's this is no wine? There's no ha-gefen possibility at night. So in that case, one would say kiddush on the challahs, on the bread. How does that work exactly? So it would be like a regular kiddush, just instead of saying borei pri ha-gefen on the wine, one would say ha-moitzi lechem min ha-aretz. What if the wine turned to vinegar? So the wine is already aged. One cannot say ha-gefen on it. What happens if it just smells bad but tastes like wine? One can still not say the kiddush on it. What happens if the bad smell came from the container it was in, not from the wine itself? It's still disqualified. What happens if the wine was left uncovered, open for a while? So in that case, the Ketzer says it is best not to be used for kiddush. And he quotes the pasuk, which describes Hakriveo nola pechasecho hayiratzecho hayisaponecho. Would you bring such a offering to your pecha, to your stately governor? You wouldn't do that. Meaning, it's not appropriate. It's not the right thing. So if that, you wouldn't do that for your governor, although technically speaking, it's all right. Then you one should not, certainly not do it for kiddush or a davar shebikdusha in this case as well. What happens if the wine has white dots on the top? One can strain it and then one can use it. But if one cannot, it is best, one can use it, but obviously preferable to find something else. What happens if the wine has a white film over the top? So one cannot use it. Mishnah Berurah points out that if you remove the film, it can be used. Obviously, alternatives are better. Can cooked wine, Yain Mevushal, be used? The answer is yes. Can wine with added sugar or flavor be used? Yes, the Ketzer points out that it is best to avoid either of these since they could not be used on the Mizbeach. Mishnah Berurah says, if the better of the wines is the Yain Mevushal, or the wine which has got added flavor, then use that because it is the better of the wines. We're looking at our third concept today, and that is the laws around Kiddush at night, and we're going to look at 11 questions. Are there any special requirements for the Kiddush cup? The answer is yes. It needs to be clean, undamaged, and all the requirements of the Kiddush, of the wine cup used for benching as well. Same goes for Kiddush in the day, and same goes for Havdalah on Motzei Shabbos. What size does the Kiddush cup needs to be? So it obviously needs to be the minimum shiur of a revius, which is either 86 milliliters according to Rav Chaya Noy, 150 milliliters according to the Chazon Ish. The Ketzer says, it suggests a very fascinating minhag, where he says that some people have the custom to have a very large cup for Kiddush on Friday night, drink enough of it to fulfill one's obligation, but then take the remainder and pour into a smaller cup, do that in the Kiddush of the day, drink enough of that, and then pour the remainder into a smaller cup for Chavdalah. So one has three sets of brachas on it by the time it's at the end. The Mishnah Berurah said it discourages such a practice, and generally says we have a separate cup each of those three opportunities. In what state are the challahs? The challahs need to be covered. Why should they be covered? So two reasons. One is because, technically speaking, the bracha of the hamotzi should go first, but because we're putting kiddush first, we cover the bread so as not to embarrass it by being put second. And number two is the manna was covered. It was between two layers of dew, and so therefore we have it. The bread is also covered in this respect. What happens if I'm doing kiddush on the challahs? So in this case, I'm now obviating the reason of the challahs being offended. So one still covers it because of the second reason, because of the way that the manna was covered. How much wine should I drink? So the person who's doing kiddush needs to do at least a cheekful of the, obviously it's subjective, a cheekful of their cheek for it to be valid. Should the others drink? The answer is yes, others should drink. It's a special mitzvah to drink from the kosher shel bracha. Even if they didn't, they have fulfilled the obligation, but it's a beautiful thing to drink from the kosher shel bracha. Can someone who cannot drink wine or grape juice make kiddush? The answer is no. Better not to make kiddush for other people if one cannot drink it right afterwards oneself. Does there need to be a bracha achrona for kiddush? So I didn't need to say ala gefen or priya gefen afterwards. The answer is no, because it'll be covered by the Berakas HaMazon. There are those who question this, and some people are makbid to have a kosher shel bracha at the end of the on the benching and then say a bracha achrona on that and have in mind on the kiddush, but that doesn't seem to be common practice. If I drink a new wine in the meal, is a new bracha required of borei pri ha-gefen? The answer is no, because the kiddush will cover all wine which will be said or had during the meal. What happens if I did kiddush and as I finish doing my kiddush, I should look in the cup and I see that it's not wine, it's another liquid? What should I do? So it depends. If there was wine at the table and I was intending to drink the wine on that table, no new kiddush needs to be said. I just pour out that wine and drink it. If there was wine in the house which I intended to use in the meal, but it's in the kitchen, it's not on the table, then I can run and go get that, and then I would not need to say I have a new borei pri ha-gefen. But I would need to say the second bracha, Asher Kirishonu, should be recited, repeated again. If the liquid turns out to be chamar medina, so let's say it's a beer or something which is seen as the natural go to drink of enjoyment and that people have, in that case, one would just say she'akol, and it would be sufficient in this bidyevet situation as well. If one had the minhag to wash and then do kiddush at hamotzi, so the yekas sometimes do this, then one would just say hamotzi, and then one would be fulfilled the obligation of the kiddush on that bread. And if none of these are true, then the kiddush needs to be repeated, because the kiddush on a liquid which is other than wine is not sufficient if none of these other options exist. With this, you conclude the first section of kiddush and the Shabbos. Have a wonderful and meaningful